So anyway, this is another one of those albums that made me. This is an album that was one I listened to incessantly when I was a kid. And unlike the other ones I've covered in this series so far, those came out, those were 90, Serenity was 93, and then Version 2.0 was 98. So this one's 83, so much, much earlier. So those came in like teenage and early teenage and late teenage, where this one came out when I was, I was into this when I was in elementary school. And it really helped shape my music taste. And that's why I felt it kind of important to kind of share in this series. I've got other albums that were also in high rotation for me around that time. And I'll kind of get into those at some other time. But yeah, I mean, this is still a good album. It's still a good album. It's got a couple weak spots nowadays. A couple songs haven't aged that well. But for most of it, it's still solid, still good musically. And I really still revisit this album, even though I listened to it to death when I was when I was young. I still, several of these songs, it's like they'll pop up on my shuffle and I'll just be taken back and just enjoying it for what it is, So anyway, so that's this week. Once again, I apologize for the delay, getting back to you, but hoping to be back on schedule now. Health stuff is kind of been a little bit more under control, so that's good. So I've got some really good episodes planned, and I will be bringing those to you. And I look forward to that. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Share the show to your friends, and all that. And that'll be it for this week. And this is Trick, and much love. Hello, and welcome back to the Tricky Notes podcast. On this week's episode, I could just kind of wanted to do some housekeeping and kind of update you on some of the upcoming episodes and kind of plans for the channel and the podcast in general. So that's what we're going to be doing today. And oh, and of course, this is Trick. So let's hear. So first off, I want to say thank you for the listeners. This has been a dream of mine for several years to actually do it. And I've had a lot of support from friends to actually make it happen. And I'm very, very thankful for the support I've been getting. I just love talking music. I can just go on. My friends know that in real life. I can, just go on and on. So this gives me another outlet to do it with. So I really love that. So, if you've been listening to this podcast a while, you notice that I have numbered episodes, and then I have quickie trickies, which kind of fall in between. And the quickie trickies are typically album reviews or classic album reviews, or like this week is kind of just a channel update. I'm going to continue doing those kind of in between the main episodes. I'm going to try to get back to those being every other week and a main episode every week. But what I've come across is some of these episodes I've ended up taking much longer to research and record than normal. And that has actually caused me to create new segments and that are new episode themes that I initially didn't have for the podcast. So for example, albums that made Trick, that actually started out as a quickie tricky, and realized that after I'd gone on for like an hour, Well, let me just elevate to that to a main episode and really make that a recurring thing, because you know they're albums that are very important to me, and you know I've done three of those so far, and it's a really good way of you kind of getting an idea of what kind of formed my musical taste while also exposing you to an album that I feel is very important and very good. And those albums may not necessarily meet any kind of other note in any of these episodes. Like, you know, like the one I did last week was Huey Lewis and the News Sports. You know, it's a good album, but why would I really talk about that album otherwise? Other than the fact that it really had an impact on my musical taste. Because it opened me, gave me a window into rock, which I really didn't have because I was really, really stuck on pop at that time. So, and you wouldn't think Huey Lewis and News would get you into rock, but you know, with the guitar work and all that, it, you know, the soundscape kind of lent in me into moving more in that direction. So anyway, I really like doing those. I'm going to continue to do those. I have a list of albums that I will cover, you know, from different parts of my life. And so, you know, that's going to continue to happen. Another segment that I'm going to continue, but I need to kind of talk a little bit more about the future of this particular, you know, one is the now retrospective. That's what we call music albums, which I'm calling then, that's what they called music. I was getting ready to record the second album and I hit a landmine. And I need to talk about that landmine. So, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and get into it now. And I'm just going to warn you, not everybody is going to necessarily like my take here, but this is where I am when it comes to certain artists. So, a lot of discussion has been had about the infamous cancel culture. And I know that may cause many people to just stop right now, but I don't necessarily think cancel culture is the right term. I think consequence culture is better. Okay. And what I mean by that, at least in my perspective, there are certain artists who have done things that have made it difficult, if not impossible, to enjoy their music anymore. And for example, there's an artist by the name of Gary Glitter. Now, may not be too familiar with Gary Glitter. He, you know, is a Brit pop person. But you do know one of his songs. You most likely know a song, not by the title of it, because it's called Rock and Roll Part 2. But you would most likely know it as the Hey Song. And the Hey Song was basically, I played it all the time in band when I was a teenager. It used to be played at all these sporting events. But if you have been to sporting events lately, you notice that that song is no longer played in most places. And I know in Nashville with the Nashville Predators, they actually had a chant that went along with that song. So all of a sudden they stopped playing it, and just kind of did they found a one that had a similar feel, but not wasn't exactly the same. And the crowd still does the same chant. So, but in, if you're not familiar with Gary Glitter or why all of a sudden everybody took took his song out of all these, these sporting events or sporting things. He's a convicted child sex offender. And in 2015, he was found guilty of attempted rape, 4 counts of indecent assault, and 1 of having sex with a girl under the age of 13. And he was sentenced to 16 years in prison in 2015. Now, this wasn't the first time that this had come up. And because this actually went back to, he was actually arrested in 1997 and 1999 for child pornography. And he was charged of sexual things with a minor at that point. But it was really, really the 2015 that finally kind of caused people to just stop playing that song, because he made a lot of money over the the performing or the playing of that song at sporting events and all that. It was really huge. I mean, all that. So anyway, so Gary Glitter is somebody that I really will not talk about on the podcast. Not that there's really a lot to talk about. And I know there's defenders out there of him, and of what he did musically, but I personally can't deal with that. I personally do, there's not anything in his music that could, that can override that for me. Another artist who has not yet been convicted, but enough has been talked about that I personally I can't talk about this artist, and that's R. Kelly. And it's hard because, R. Kelly was huge in, my late high school years and going in. I mean, he had that huge song from the Space Jam soundtrack, but is just all the stuff that's come out. And I understand people are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, but I also have free will. And I made a choice not to listen to his songs. Now, there is a slight exception to that, and I'm just going to be quite honest with you. There are some songs he wrote for other artists that I can listen to and enjoy because the other artists sang them. Take, for example, Toni Braxton's I Love, I Don't Want To, or Michael Jackson's You're Not Alone. Those are songs I can separate from R. Kelly. And the reason that this became a landmine in doing the Now series is because R. Kelly has songs on those. And, I went to record the second one. He has a song on there. Then the song's not great. I did give it a try just to see, okay, should I just be on, just can I give this this? And it's like, I can't. I just can't. So what I will do when I'm doing those reviews, I will mention that this song is no longer available and the things that it belongs to someone named Bob Green, which, you know, Bob is short for Robert and Kelly is a type of green. And I will leave it go at that. And I'll probably do that too if I go, you know, when I do, if he comes up in doing other artists' work, you know. And I know some people's like, well, you know, he's not been convicted. It's not about, but there's enough people that, you know, just all the stuff that's come out about him and Aaliyah, that's enough for me personally. Now on the flip side, you know, you have someone like Phil Spector who was convicted of killing somebody and went to jail and died in jail, you know, but he did have a huge impact on music and he was not necessarily the performer. He was the producer. So I can still enjoy that stuff because there's a separation there. Take it for what it is. But I did want to kind of get that out there into the ether when I do get back into recording the now retrospectives. All right, so let's go on to the next subject on my list. So now that I was out of the way, it's all clear, y'all taken care of. So let's kind of talk about the other main subjects I'm doing. Let's hit about the Diva Directory first. And that one took me a long time to research, but it is my, you know, most listened to episode, you know. And I already started, you know, researching, you know, other Diva Directories for other divas. But I've kind of hit a snag on some of the ones I wanted to do, which really was disappointing. So, for example, the second one I wanted to do was actually Olivia Newton-John. A lot of people know Olivia Newton-John from Grease or the song Physical, maybe the movie Xanadu, but they really don't know as much about her musical output as a whole. I mean, she started out as a country artist. You know, that was where she started. And, you know, she recorded some of Dolly's songs and she actually did a cover of Jolene back in the 70s. And I was very disappointed, you know, like I have most of her albums on vinyl because I'm a collector and I have a lot of that stuff. And, you know, and I was very disappointed that most of her 70s output is not available on streaming platforms, you know, to buy, to listen to. It's just not there. And that's disappointing, you know? So that's like that's basically most of her country output from the 70s is kind of memory hold, and it's just not available. You know, her 80s albums are available, even some that were not necessarily that successful. You know, even her album Gaia, which wasn't even released in the States, it was kind of like her earthy album of the late 90s, early 2000s. That's on streaming. But the albums that gave, you know, her such success in the 70s and really made a name for herself to allow her to get cast in Grease, they're gone. They're not there. You know, unless you're, you know, a collector like me, you don't have them. You can't get them. And I mean, you can get a few of the songs and a few of the compilations, but you know, that's just a few songs. It's not all of them. Another diva that I wanted to do, and I know I'm kind of hitting on the country ones, but you know, the next one I wanted to do was Crystal Gayle. Crystal Gayle is Loretta Lynn's little sister. You know, her biggest song is "Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue." You know, she has a fantastic voice. And you know, her 70s albums, her early work, her first album through, you know, up to, you know, probably around 1980, there you can get those albums online on streaming platforms and lines and everything. But then her 80s output is missing, and or you know, and most of her 80s output is not out on streaming platforms or out there. And you know, she had some interesting stuff in the 80s. Like she did a cover of an Elton John song called "Cage the Songbird," which was about Edith Piaf, and it's not readily available. It's, you know, and once again, you have some songs from that era that are on different compilations and stuff, but the albums are missing. You know, I think, you know, so I'm coming across some of those landmines when researching these divas. The same thing with Cher. There are a lot of Cher's albums you can't find online. I'm having to figure out how I'm going to handle those, because I still want to do diva directories for those artists. I just have to figure out how to tell you where to find it, you know, because I don't want to encourage piracy. That's something that I've been kind of talking about. And, you know, and I came across that when I was doing a recent Tricky 10 with, you know, Garth Brooks stuff's not available out there. And so it's just taking me a little bit longer. I mean, I could record a diva directory tonight on Madonna. I could record a diva directory tonight on Janet Jackson. I could record one tonight on Jody Watley. You know, there are some that I can, that will not be a problem for me to record. And I know I can go ahead and do those. But, you know, I wanted to kind of do some of these, you know, obviously Dolly is huge, you know, but I wanted to do some of these that they're big, but they're still kind of on the, they're not your Madonna. They're not your Mariah. They're not your Janet. You know, kind of wanted to give a little bit more ones that of the divas that, you know, pop culturally are a big part of pop culture, but you may not know the music, if that makes any sense. So we'll see how it goes. I've got a long list of them, and I'm going to do as many of them as I can. Some of them are going to be harder than others. You know, Celine Dion's another one that's going to be hard, because while all her US albums are available, she had a huge career prior to her first English label, English debut, and English language debut. And not all of those are available in the US. So it's just a matter of trying to figure everything out and figure out how that's going to work. So the next, let's talk historical notes. Historical notes has, I have ideas for that, coming up and talking about important things in musical history, kind of things that happened, things that did. I've got one that I've been doing research on about the woman that changed music, period, in the early 90s through some lawsuits. I have another one planned on the Filthy 15. and kind of the impact of that. You know, I've got some different stuff, but those are going to take a lot more to do than some of the other segments. So the Diva Directory and the tricky and the historical notes, those are going to be less frequent because those take a lot more research than some of these other ones. Like I said, an album that made Trick, like I said before, that's just me talking about what is important with an album for me. Then that's what they called music. I just pull up the album and give you my opinion on if the songs held up or not. You know, Tricky Tens, those I put together and, you know, subjects. And it's like, I got a huge musical thing. And it's like, I can put together 10 in any subject. So those are pretty good to go. Same with the Tricky Spotlight, you know, picking a subject and picking three artists that, that I feel fit that subject. Those don't take as much research as the historical notes in the Diva Directory. So, you will be seeing those less often, but they will be coming. So you just have to be patient with me because I know, those are two, the Robbery of 85 episode is another one of my most listened to episodes, and I like doing those. And those are fun to do and fun to talk about, what happened in the past and how that kind of looking at it through, today's eyes and talking about what was happening then and just, looking at it all. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to kind of let you know that stuff, kind of what was going on. I'm probably, like I said, the Diva Directory, it's like, I want to do Olivia Newton-John so bad, but it's like, there's just so much stuff that's not available. And that's kind of upsetting, but I'm trying to figure out a way to work around it. So we'll see what happens. But those are still going to come, still going to get more Tricky Tens, still going to get more Tricky Spotlights. So just to recap, right now, my recurring mainline episodes kind of are either an album that made Trick, then that's what they call music, a Tricky 10, a Tricky Spotlight, a Historical Notes, or a Diva Directory. Those are my six recurring segments at this time. And once again, I'm going to keep doing the quickie trickies in between, including throwing in some quickie tricky classics where I talk about, classic albums and all that. Now, I do want to kind of give a differential between a quickie tricky classic and an album that made Trick. So right now, the quickie tricky classics that I have put out there, they're good albums, but they did not have an impact on my musical tastes. They did not have an impact on my personal journey. They're good albums, but they are just good albums to me. They're not albums that were some kind of transformative for, that's not the right word. they really weren't an album that had a huge impact on my life. That makes any sense. And, and part of that is just because of maybe when I listened to the album. For example, White Heat with Dusty Springfield. I love that album. But I didn't hear that album until I was in my 30s. So, it was like 2000. What was it? 2009. I want to say I found that album. 2008, 2009. Or that's when I really started listening to it. I may have had it before then because being a collector, sometimes you get music and you don't listen to it immediately. And the same thing with the Gold Experience. I had the singles for The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, and I Hate You. But I didn't have the Gold Experience album. And I did not get the Gold Experience album until I was probably in my mid to late 20s. And that was, you know, at least 10 years since it had been released at that point. Most likely more. They're good albums and I'd like to talk about them, but they did not have the influence and impact on my life as the albums that made Trick did. Does that make any sense? I hope. I just kind of wanted to give you a distinction between the two, because there's just some classic albums I want to talk about, but that doesn't mean that they would rise to the level of an album that made Trick, the one that really impacted me, you know? Trying to think of another example. You know, one more thing about that, you know, sometimes, because there's an album that made Trick coming up, and it's good, that album's going to be covered multiple times on my podcast because it's a Madonna album. And I did not get the album when it first came out because my parents wouldn't let me get that album. So I didn't get it until, you know, probably, let's see, 5 years after it came out. But I got it at the right time for me. So that album had a huge impact on me personally. And I will talk about that in length when I finally do that episode. Just because I may not have had the album when it first came out doesn't mean that it disqualifies it from being an album that made Trick, if that makes any sense. Trying to think if there's any others, but anyway, I'm just kind of rambling at this point, but I just kind of wanted to get some housekeeping done and just kind of talk about future of the channel and kind of give you a feel for what's coming, on everything, you know. So with all that, what's next? What do I want from y'all? And I'm going to ask y'all to help me. I want to know what things y'all want to hear about. I want to know what tricky tens you want. You know, what subjects do you want me to give you a list of songs for? I want to know if there's any, you know, particular types of spotlights you want. Like maybe you want, can you spotlight three lesbian rockers? Or, hey, can you point me out, some dance artists I should check out? Or, hey, it's Pride Month. So, you know, what about three artists that were unabashedly about their sexuality? There's ideas. Are there historical notes you want me to cover? Are there particular divas you want me to talk about? And are there albums you want me to review? You know, if there's a new album coming out, let me know if you want me to do a review on it. I have my tastes, so I tend to kind of lean towards albums and artists to kind of meet my tastes. But I love checking out new music. Sometimes I just see the recommendations to do that. Email the show. The emails should be in the show notes, or reach out to me on Twitter. Tweet at me. My Twitter account is tricky_notes. You can reach out to me there. You can message my Facebook page, Tricky Notes Podcast. Let me know. I want to I enjoy doing this, and you know, sometimes what I want to talk about may not be necessarily what you want to hear. So give me some more ideas. So anyway. All right, so that was that's enough of me rambling and going kind of on, and but I just kind of wanted to kind of give you an idea of where I am on the show, what the plans are, kind of deal with that landmine real quick before I do the next now or then, that's what they call music segment, you know, and there you go. So that's it for this week. Once again, rate and subscribe in your podcast app. If you are on iTunes, and because they do allow written reviews on iTunes, if you give me a 5-star review with a blurb, I will read it on the show, on a future show. So yeah, that'll be it for this week. So as always, this is Trick, and thank you for listening. And much love.